This is the Higher Ed Tech Podcast, Season 2, Episode 5, Short and Long-Term Visions for Returning to Campus and Finding Accessories for Your Home Office.
Welcome to today's Higher Ed Tech Podcast. I'm Tim Van Norman, the instructional technologist here at Irvine Valley College.
And I'm Brent Warner, professor of ESL here at IVC. We both enjoy integrating technology into the classroom, which is what this show is all about.
Welcome. We're glad you're here with us. So, Brent, what's new for you?
There's not a lot of new going on. we're moving along, you know. Zoom updates, they're kind of fun. Zoom updates are coming out. We talked a little bit about that in the last episode. Some newer stuff came, and it's almost to the point where you actually, if you really pay attention every week or every 2 weeks to the Zoom update log, like you're like, oh, this cool thing that we've been asking for the last 6 months is finally coming. So there are some good things there. That's making me pretty happy. Yep. How about you?
Well, along those same lines, I'm getting to share those things that we learned about last time with people because I hadn't known them and it didn't work. And all of a sudden I got some updates and man, multiple pin, all kinds of stuff going on. So, hey, if you want to know more about that, listen to our last episode.
Yeah.
But it's got a lot of stuff. And fortunately, Zoom is paying attention. So
yeah, that is nice. And then you can say, hey, if you had just listened to the last episode. All right. So today, Tim, we're going to talk a little bit about some ideas and thoughts on returning to campus. So especially kind of how that affects like staff and administration. We've talked a lot about teachers. We've talked a lot about like how to run the classes and those types of things, but we haven't spent a lot of time about like being on campus and working with faculty or working with staff and working with other stakeholders. So that's one topic. And then we're also going to talk about just what to do, kind of accessories, getting good deals, a little bit of ideas around, setting up or making additional purchases for your home office. So we'll be jumping into both of those, and I think we should go right now.
Sounds good.
Okay, so first up, short and long-term visions for returning to campus. I mean, first we have to say, IVC recently just announced that we are not coming back in spring of 2021. So that was made official by the chancellor. And that's also a couple of weeks ago that already came through from the Cal States, right? And so a lot of the colleges are just saying, no, we're really going to wait this out. We're really going to make sure that everything's clear and safe, and we do not want to be COVID hotspots or anything like that that keep coming up on the news. So that means that there's kind of a long-term view of what coming back to college is going to look like, right?
Well, including the fact that what does that mean not coming back to campus? Mm-hmm. Because we're looking at even hopefully in the next couple of weeks having certain specific things where we might have some students back on campus.
Okay.
For the spring semester, we're hoping to have labs that are and participation classes maybe back on campus. So things like theater.
Right.
Dance. It's really hard to dance with another person and do it virtually. It just doesn't quite,
you
I can't imagine
experience.
Doing a lift and the other person laying there, it just doesn't quite work. So, those types of things we're hoping to get back on campus, but that everything every day depends on, COVID.
That's right.
What happens with it. And so, we're constantly having meetings, trying to predict the future. And what we can do is we can plan for what the future is going to be, whatever happens. And so we're going to go over a bunch of different things that you might see, might be behind the scenes. These are current ideas that we've got for returning to campus. But as you mentioned, Brent, this is not about what the classroom is going to look like.
Yeah. And I think part of the idea here is getting people to getting our listeners and everybody, you know, all of you listening, to start thinking about it, right? Because it might affect you in a different way than it affects that person. And a lot of times, I know that we have a lot of listeners who are faculty members, right? But we often get absorbed in our teaching needs and those types of things, but aren't thinking about things like student services and things like facilities and you know, and all of these other things and the opportunities for students to interact. So Tim, you put together a list of some things that you think are worth talking about. I agree. So I think we should start with some of the ideas around, like, what's it going to look like when people need to come on campus, right? There are going to be times where it's like, I got to get on campus. I have to talk to someone. There will be some, you know, people maybe spaced out. I don't know. All of these things. So how's it going to work? Right. How are we thinking it's going to work, I guess?
Well, and to your point, especially, it's probably going to be a lot fewer people than you're used to seeing. So there's going to be a lot more online than there was before, because we just can't risk putting four people in an 8x8 set of, you know, in four cubicles that are surrounding each other and breathing on each other. Mm-hmm. You know, you need space. So we're going to see some interesting tools. We've already purchased some tools here at Irvine Valley College. One of them is QList. So QList is a package that allows the student or whoever is going to get in a list, a line, a queue, and they can basically use their cell phone, get in, log in, and I want to speak with a counselor, and they say, okay, you're 50th in line. Well, hopefully not 50th, but, you know, whatever that number is.
Let's say third. Let's make it friendly.
let's make it 10, okay? Because what happens is you can then wait outside.
Great.
And kind of like you would do at a restaurant where you get a little thing and all of a sudden it buzzes when it's your turn. So they will text you when there's like two or three people ahead of you in line. So then you can come in, and now you're not waiting through 50 people or 10 people or sitting in line with a whole bunch of people. You come in, and now you're the next or the person after that to get in.
So the chunk of your wait is kind of socially distanced outside in the quad, some in your car, right? And then you get the text message, you come in, and there's only going to be maybe two people in front of you.
Right.
And then you can be safely 6 to 8 feet away from each of those people. So yeah, that makes sense. Okay.
So there's going to be tools like that you're going to see. We're going to continue to use things like Cranium Cafe, which gives a lobby and a chat area and other tools. Zoom has a lot of those capabilities. You're going to see a lot of that happening to try to keep people at the distance and allow them to interact. And we've also learned some things. Hey, it's a whole lot easier to share your screen across Zoom or Cranium Cafe and see what document the person's working on versus sitting there in the office and the student says, well, I've got it here on my cell phone. Can you look? Or something like that. So,
well, or even having a piece of paper and twisting it sideways and trying to go side by side, but now you have to be safe across
6 feet
them.
Apart.
Yeah. So that's a great point.
Yep. So we're also, a lot of internal communications is going to be run through things like Teams. I know, Brent, your department uses something else, but Teams is a great chat thing. You can share pictures and files and all kinds of different things together and really have quick communication with somebody. And it also, one of the things that I like about it, I don't like it a lot of it, but I do like the fact that I can type something into Teams and I know that person will get it.
Yeah.
But it's not as long as a whole email.
Correct. So. Yeah. So we use River. So it's similar, Teams and River and Slack. They're all kind of the same type of thing. I actually did kind of consider, like, should we all move over to Teams because it's part of the school system now? We haven't quite done that, but it is great because it's like, hey, we can collaborate. We can kind of have a shared area. This communication went out. It's available for people. But the emails, it's way better than emails for such like quick and simple communications. And I really like those types of things. Just anything to reduce emails, really. So, okay.
Absolutely. Understand. So the next part I wanted to talk about is what is it going to look like facilities wise, desks and stuff like that? Because we're starting to see this in a lot of offices where you've got plexiglass hanging in front of where a line, where somebody would stand, and then there'd be somebody behind the desk to take care of them. So we're going to see plexiglass all over the place.
Okay. So
Tim, I'm afraid.
Can I pause you for a second here? Because this is so like, the plexiglass screens or whatever, they're great. Like I was laughing because I went to my local CVS and they have, what they have is not plexiglass. They just have like clear tarp, plastic hanging from the ceilings. So when I walk in, it feels like a straight up like demilitarized zone or some sort of like science fiction future. And I'm like, this place is so creepy. But then I was dying because I walked in and they started putting up their Halloween decorations. And I'm like, this is so much scarier than your Halloween costumes. So I hope that at the school, the plexiglass looks clean. The droopy, clear vinyl sheets are not hopefully going to be happening on our campus.
Yeah, we're planning on plexiglass, but the other part is we really don't want plexiglass everywhere. Mm-hmm. I just said plexiglass everywhere. You're going to see it a lot of places, but we're not like lining whole desks and the whole desk is going to be plexiglass or something like that. We're trying to minimize that a little bit because it is rather off-putting. Mm-hmm. To talk to somebody behind plexiglass, and especially some of them, you can't hear the person.
Yeah.
And so really now you start to move closer. The moment you move closer, now you're defeating the purpose of social distancing.
Right. Well, it's so, like when you're at the bank, right? And like you're kind of struggling to get that conversation going. And even when they're like probably expensively built with those little kind of holes and speaker block boxes in the middle, it's like, wow, it still doesn't feel very personal, I guess. So
right. Mm-hmm. So we're working on figuring out how that's going to look. You're going to see signs all over the place, but hopefully not everywhere. Okay. Kind of the same thing with the plexiglass. Where there will be lines, we're looking at putting out six foot distance markers like you see all over the place now. CVS is a good example of that. But also you're going to have signs, one-way signs. So we're looking at the like some of our buildings on campus, there'll be one entrance and one exit.
Oh, okay.
Or two entrances and two exits. And
so like in the Bistic building, you would walk in through only through one door, walk your way through, and then go out the other door.
Exit one of the other doors.
For people who aren't on our campus, that's a long hallway building, right? There's basically, it's split into two sides. So you walk through the long hallway, but anytime you enter that hallway, wherever you enter it from, you'll just have to turn that direction to get to the room you want to go to. Right.
Right. And to that point, it's going to be probably, if you've got two sets of stairs in a building, one is going to be up and one is going to be down. Mm-hmm. And again, trying to not have people breathing on each other as they're walking by and stuff like that.
Okay.
So there's going to be signs all over the place. We're replacing like the drinking fountains are going to go touchless. So some of them will have foot pedals.
Okay.
That you can press. So it's, you touch it with your shoe, not with your hands or anything like that. Others will be sensitive where you move your water bottle in and the water comes down.
I do love those ones. That's a great feature. When those started showing up on campuses, I was like, that's really smart. Cause you can, the one for holding for your water bottle.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. As long as you don't reach all the way in and touch the sensor,
start rubbing your hand on the back wall.
You'd be surprised at how much we see that just walking by. Restrooms, automatic flushes, things like the sinks having automatic faucets, the paper dispensers being automatic so you don't touch things. Basically trying to go as touchless as possible even in a restroom.
So one thing I see
one
thing I see about that a lot is not just schools, but all sorts of places. But the faucets, they make those faucets so close to the back wall, right? So are we talking about giving like a little bit more distance over the sink too? Or is it still going to be like I mean, I don't know. I mean, all these things are just, it's just a conversation, right? We don't know what everything, right. And it's expensive too. So
it's expensive. And that's the key, is there's a lot of that work going on trying to figure out what it's going to be and what makes sense. Mm. In the restrooms, we're looking at, if it is a two-stall restroom, it will become a one-stall restroom. So basically, locking out half of the stalls in restrooms.
Like locking, like just closing it with
locking
like a tape?
The stall.
Locking it. Okay. So not completely removing it, but.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because we're hoping that eventually we'll get past COVID and then we can free all these things up again.
Sure, sure. Okay.
So the idea being, minimizing the need for people to congregate or to be too close together.
Right.
And so that said, we're probably also going to look at cubicles. If you've got four cubicles together in one area, you might only have two people in those four cubicles or one person in the four cubicles. So we're looking at a half to a quarter usage for all of these things.
Okay. Which I imagine is doable, because some people will still be working from online from home. You know, some people will come in for the in-person need, but a lot of people have figured out how to do the work from home, right?
Right. And so that's, when it comes to scheduling, that's going to be an interesting time too, because some of the scheduling we're talking about, if you don't need to be on campus, you won't be scheduled to be on campus. Right. If you do need to be on campus, can we have four people and one of them on campus each day of the week or something like that? You know, what can we do that has to be on campus versus can be remote? Mm-hmm. So we're going to see a lot of that. Also, we're talking about personal protective equipment, gloves, masks, stuff like that. You're going to see people having to work at their desk with a mask on. Mm. And while we're getting used to that, it's very different. I love the fact that I'm in an enclosed room, so I don't have to wear a mask.
Right.
I would hate to wear a mask all day, every day, but that's going to happen. We're also talking about an app that you will have to fill out each day, you meaning faculty, students, staff, administration. We don't know who all you is. Mm-hmm. But an app you fill out each day. How, do you feel okay? Have you met anybody with COVID? Whatever the questions are. And then you come in and they scan you to see if you have a fever. If you do, you get to go home or wait and try it again. Otherwise, you come in and you show them that you got a green star on your app, and then you can come in onto campus. If you don't have that green mark saying that you answered all the questions right, then you move on. Mm. And you can't come on campus. So there's a lot of weird things that are in discussion. We'll see what it actually works.
Those last ones scare me a bit. I mean, I am comfortable with them for the current purposes, but I worry that in the future, you know, I read the dark sci-fi sometimes. And so it's like, why don't we just keep checking you every time you want to come onto campus? Why don't you know, without the pod bay door, Hal?
I get that. And so we're going to see a lot of different changes. And by the way, I can guarantee you that in a month we'll be looking at different changes than we just listed.
Yeah. But I think this is just generally to kind of see, like, start going through that process of like recognizing what it's going to look like, preparing yourself mentally for that, because it is going to be very different. And some people are just like, some people are still saying when things get back to normal, it's like, no.
That may never happen.
Yeah. So, okay. So anything else to think about before we kind of wrap up this section?
No, I think that's a good start.
Yeah.
And there's, like I said, there's going to be a lot more changes, but we'll see what it really looks like when that time comes, which hopefully will happen soon.
Yeah. And I think we'll revisit this conversation as we make changes to those expectations and when we actually do open the campus a little bit more fully.
Exactly. Yep.
Okay, so Tim, I got a very quick zippy tip, which might be super specific, which is that sometimes I need to use, and I'm not even a math person, but sometimes I like to use the not equals sign in my typing. And if you're on a Mac, so I used to go and search on the internet and go copy it from Google somewhere, but I found that if you're on a Mac, you can use the option and the equal sign together, so option equal, and it will create the not equal sign with a quick type. So I was pretty happy about that, but sorry.
And I was disappointed because I even looked it up, and I love the way one guy said it. Good luck for Windows. Mm-hmm. No, you have to do exactly what you said before. Google it, copy and paste it, because unfortunately, that's the easy way.
So yeah, sorry, Windows people. This is, I guess, a Mac only tip for today. But you can go search on Google. It does exist. Copy it, paste it, and you can get it in there.
Yep. So Brent, you mentioned this a week or so ago, and we wanted to talk about how do we find decent accessories, tools, things like that, because right now we're in a world where there's a million different options,
right?
And everybody knows that not every option is right.
Right.
Not every option is going to work. But how do I know that this is the correct thing for me? And this can be anything from physical equipment, calculators, whatever, to apps for my phone, to software, et cetera. So you had mentioned it, and we think we want to talk about how do we shop and find these things and not feel like we got ripped off? Might be a quick way of putting that. So
yeah. Cause I've had to kind of upgrade my home office with lots of little things to make my workflow work here. Really. That could include things like dongles, because I've got a MacBook Pro, and so it only takes the USB-C adaptions, and all my old USB, external hard drives need to plug into that. Or I need to have, I had to get a little stand to raise my laptop up so that I can kind of have the camera be basically at eye level. You know, all these little things, it's like, oh, okay, these add up, and I've got to buy a bunch of stuff. If you're lucky, your school is providing some of these things for you. IVC does kindly provide, like, you know, some cameras and some things for faculty who need it, including computers, right? If we need them. But if you're, I know a lot of teachers out there who are like, I'm just getting my own stuff, and I guess I'll just kind of keep this nicer home office corner nook cubby hole, whatever they're doing, and so they're out there shopping. But a lot of people kind of just go on Amazon and maybe don't recognize that the first thing is an advertisement, and then the second thing is it has a bunch of fake reviews on it. You know, like there are problems out there with just simple shopping without a little consideration. And so I think that you and I have done, you know, enough shopping in our days of good and bad things to just kind of share some maybe hints that can help people as they're and again, I'm kind of talking about dongles, but this is, or whatever it is, but it can definitely be, like you said, apps or services or whatever, because these same processes go into everything. So let's start a little bit with Amazon, because I think that's where people default to, and just kind of, what's your experience with shopping on Amazon and buying things?
So Brent, as we were talking about this before, we found that you and I have different approaches.
Opposite approaches, I think, yeah.
Completely opposite approaches. So my approach is I find something that looks like exactly what I need, mm-hmm. and I find the cheapest thing that fits, and then I start from there, and I move up as far as I think I need to get, and I buy a very inexpensive item. Okay, right. So I'll spend $12 on a microphone, a lapel mic, because it'll work for what I need it to do, and I'll test it. If I use it one time, I've spent $12 on it and I'm done. It's not a big deal. Or two times or whatever. If it breaks, it's not a big deal. I just throw it away and I move on.
If you drop your computer during a presentation, for example.
Yeah, that one was a little expensive, but yes, but that was a $300 computer. If I had gotten the Windows, the
right, better than 1200, right?
Microsoft's competitor would have been at least 800 to 1200. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I felt then, even though I hated it, I felt like, oh, I didn't damage this major piece of equipment.
Right.
So I tend to start at the cheap end. And then, by the way, if I find I'm going to use this, I need it, I need the quality, then I'll go to the high end and I'll buy the highest I can afford. Mm-hmm. But I start with the cheap, especially because often I'm going to use something once or twice.
Right, right.
And if it breaks after the third time and I've only used it twice, I don't care. You know?
Yeah.
So that's an approach I take. So Brent, what was your approach?
My approach is quite the opposite. So I look for a high end, high quality product that I know is going to last me for many years, that has a long reputation. Usually I don't buy things that are just recently released, but that have been around for several years and that people continue to use. So I'll keep with the microphone as a matching comparison. Is like, it's not that my microphone is super expensive. This is like a $60 to $70 mic, something like that. But I was listening to other podcasters when they talk about what they're using. I want to go to trusted sources and not just Amazon, but like, okay, hey, these podcasters are talking about these mics and which ones they like and why they like them. And then I do a reverse search on reviews and how long ago people left their reviews. So if I can find a review of a mic, that someone either reviewed it like a year ago, or they did an update on it or something like that, then that's when I'm like, okay, this is really solid. And so I prefer to put the money into it up front and then just be like, I'm done with this. My process for searching for this, I'm not going to go search for another one again and again and again after that. So we definitely approach these in different ways.
That's why I'm about to go buy a new mic. That's better for doing this, because I had gotten one, it functioned, mm-hmm. But now I need to move up that chain quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And so, but now I have every reason to do it because I'm going to use it. I've learned a lot of stuff off of it from the lower. So your approach would cost me less money.
Right.
On something I'm going to continue to use. But on something I use once or twice, then I haven't spent the money, was my approach, my thought.
Yeah.
So,
well, and also
I think we're both right.
I agree. And also the nice thing for you is that you can keep like a box of tech goodies, right? That you are going to go, oh, hey, I need to do this project. I already have something that doesn't have to be expensive, but I can use it. So depending, right. You know, again, everybody's situation is different, but that for sure makes a difference. So, Tim, I want to talk a little bit about reviews online. Again, Amazon is one thing, and that's just people making reviews. But I like to use Wirecutter. It's my favorite site for checking the quality of things, checking what they recommend whenever I buy pretty much anything at this point. I'm always going on to Wirecutter. So I'm like, best microphone, best headset. They do kitchen goods and all sorts of other things. So Wirecutter was bought by New York Times recently, but they do a really heavy in-depth reviews on all sorts of different goods and services. And they update pretty much all of their services every year. So they say, hey, this is the 2020 guide. And they say, this is what we said last year, and we're continuing with our recommendation. Or we have upgraded because, and they go through really long, in-depth explanations of how they're using whatever it is that they're reviewing. So for example, an office chair, right? And they say, hey, here are the different things to consider. Are you a larger person? Are you a smaller person? Are you using a standing desk or not a standing desk, right? And so they try and give several people to be reviewing and put their ideas together based on different use cases. And then they use all of that to make their recommendations. And then they give you little caveats and say, hey, here are the pros, here are the cons, here are the things that you might want to be looking at or considering for your own personal use. And so a site like Wirecutter is, to me, a lot more valuable than just Amazon, because there's all sorts of things, like we said, Amazon, you can buy fake reviews on Amazon for the quality of your product, right? And so if it's like a cheap cheaply made dongle than you might say, hey, I've got 1,000 reviews on this thing, and then you plug it into your computer and it blows up, right?
Well, nice part about Amazon is you can often return it.
That's true.
So that helps too. But so that said, from a software standpoint, I like to start with CNET.
Okay.
It's not necessarily the one that I wind up with, but they at least tend to give me a good idea on options, what their take was. And so CNET's a nice place to just get started.
Yeah.
And that's the thing on all of these. I never find one site that answers all my questions.
Yeah. I agree though with CNET, the nice thing, because especially with software, as you're mentioning, CNET does good videos, right? And
yes.
So the videos really help with software to like see what you're going to be working through. Wirecutter tends to be more physical goods. And so I don't necessarily need a video. I kind of want to read the things, just different time, different purposes,
right.
But yeah. Okay. So, but you're saying CNET's your starting point. It doesn't mean just trust it, right?
Right. Well, and it can often give you the questions you need to ask.
Mm-hmm.
And that's to me. And then I unfortunately go to Google and I start looking around, and there's some sites that I look at and I go, ooh, I'm not going to trust them.
Mm-hmm.
I look at their competitors. What does the competitor say? And stuff like that. Again, I'm not going to trust everything that comes out, but I want to have a clue what I'm dealing with. And that just seems to be a good starting point. But that's also probably why I like to buy stuff cheap and start with that. With software, often you can get a 15-day trial or something like that. I do that constantly. Sign up for a trial, and then if I don't use it, I'm gone. I'm not going to spend any time or
money.
May
I add a hint in here? Because a lot of these trials, they say, hey, give us your credit card and then you can cancel it. My hint is immediately cancel as soon as you sign up, or get a sticky note, put it right on your monitor so you're going to see it and know exactly the date that you're going to double check and cancel. Because they're relying on the fact that people forget.
Right. And a lot of times you can contact them and say, hey, you know what? I don't want to pay for this yet. I'm looking at maybe a bigger license. Mm-hmm. So I'm fortunate in that I can represent the college when I'm asking questions and stuff.
Right.
So they'll a lot of times give me a license to try for a month for free, even if they typically would charge.
Yeah.
So.
And I think the last thing to share here, my last hint mm-hmm. is keep an understanding that a lot of these things do not have to be expensive, right? We kind of just get used to these higher prices. But for example, monoprice.com sells a lot of this like generic brand versions of whatever you're looking for at a way reduced price compared to what you would get for, you know, on Amazon, right? And so it's been a while now, but I bought like a wall TV mount that you can kind of push in and pull out and turn at angles or whatever.
Nice.
And it was like $30 to hold up a 45 inch, you know, fairly heavy TV. And then you're going online to kind of some of the more mainstream sites and it's like $75-$85 for the same thing, or, you know, and it's just like, okay, this is just a piece of pressed steel and it doesn't need to be. I mean, to tell the truth, $35 is probably has other reasons. There's other problems that are more sociopolitical, but and also if that's important to you, make sure you consider those things as well. But, you know, there are places where you go, hold on a second. Are these really price value matching? So do I need the name brand version or does the generic version of it work?
Right. And the last one I wanted to bring up is there's people that you know and you have in your life that you trust.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to them. As you mentioned before, if podcasters are talking about it, that immediately, you know, that surpasses my, oh, cheap. Hey, wait a minute. If somebody's willing to, and you know, they're actually using that product, there's a reason why they're giving you this information. Somebody will ask me, for instance, what kind of computer should I buy? I never go for brand. I never go for, you know, I give them what they need for their thing, which gives them a level of trust in me because I'm not selling something specific. Mm-hmm. I'm giving them what they need and then letting them find it for themselves unless they want more specific. So look for people that you trust. And by the way, make sure you trust them in that area. Okay. You know, you might,
I already know where you're going with this. Yeah.
you might come to me and ask me about, you know, shoes. Mm-hmm. All right. I go for the most comfortable, cheapest shoes I can find. Other people, oh no, you have to have this brand that your toes fit into just right and all that stuff. And I'm like, I couldn't care less. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay. I was trying to be nice there. I wasn't going too far, but you get my point.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
There are people in your life that you trust in certain ways on certain things. And you know,
yeah, go towards the expertise that matches that person. So I think that makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. So. All right. So there's a few hints I hope that help people, because I know we unfortunately a lot of us have to keep on buying stuff to kind of sustain. And you know, I don't like the idea of like just buy. I am not the person to just like buy to buy. You know, mm-hmm. I like to I try to not buy a bunch of junky stuff. Although if you looked at my home office, you might disagree, but I hope it helps some people to kind of think and recognize some of the things that might be hidden in the purchasing process.
So we want to remind everybody at IVC about a couple of announcements that we had a couple of episodes ago, but on Tuesdays at 3:00, Brent has the OETF office hours, mm-hmm. and Fridays at 11, Cheryl has them. I have open office hours on Wednesdays from 2 to 3. And I don't know about yours, Brent, but I've been having just a few people, but they have been really good and they're asking really good questions and stuff. So it's been fun.
Yeah.
And it's been good to have people in and talking. So encouraging people to go ahead and look that stuff up and find it on the training website or something like that.
Yep, yep. It's been going pretty well for me too. So if you need the help, we are here to help.
Or if you want to just listen.
That's true too. Yeah, there are a couple of teachers that come in and just say, hey, is it cool if I just hang out and listen? And absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Thank you for listening today. In this episode, we talked about short and long-term visions for returning to campus and finding decent accessories for your home office. For more information about this show, please visit our website at thehigheredtechpodcast.com. There you will find our podcast and links to the information we've covered.
As always, we do want your feedback, so please go to thehigheredtechpodcast.com and let us know your thoughts. And if you have ideas for future shows, there's a link on that page there to give us some of your topic ideas.
For everyone at IVC that's listening, if you need help with technology questions, please contact IVC Technical Support or email ivctech@ivc.edu. If you have questions about technology in your classroom, please contact me, Tim Van Norman, at tvannorman@ivc.edu.
And if you want to reach out to me about the show, you can find me on Twitter or Instagram at Brent G. Warner.
I'm Tim Van Norman.
And I'm Brent Warner. And we hope this episode has helped you on the road from possibility to actuality. Have a good day.